love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Studio Club, I think.
Who?
Mrs. Wakefield. Is that the Mrs. Wakefield or any Mrs. Wakefield? I would kid you, mister. Who is this? Oh, Mr. Cushing. Well, old Pinstripes himself. Why, this is your ever-loving house painter, Jeff. Okay, haven't seen her. Nope, she's not here. There's a whole collection of messages in her box. How you been, anyhow? Still propping up the future of America? Okay, I can hear this is not one of your better nights. Sure, I'll take a message. Wait a sec, he already left, too. I could copy him. Take it easy. I'm writing it down. Tony. T-O-N-Y. That's it. Cushing called. Yes, sir. Love to everybody. Bye. Jeff, my boy, there is a guy who doesn't like you.
Oh, hi, Jeff.
Kate, you just missed it.
Who?
Your tiger.
My tiger?
Mr. Cushing just called. He's been doing it all day, I think.
Oh, what did you tell him?
I said you had gone into permanent retreat.
Good.
You don't mind?
No, I like it.
Oh, I wish I had said it.
Oh, Jeff, honestly. But it's good to see you around.
I thought you were going away.
Tomorrow I have something to do first. Jeff, I want to ask you a question.
I'm the poor man's encyclopedia.
Do you have a tape recorder?
I've got two of them.
Could I borrow one?
You sure can. Which one?
I don't know. I have a tape here I want to listen to.
Well, can I see it?
Well, can't you just tell me?
Look, I don't want to hear it. I just want to see the type of machine you need.
It's this.
Yeah, standard. I can fix you up. I'll go up and get it, set it up for you.
If it's on your desk, I can just pick it up.
Oh, I didn't know you'd even come into my room, lady.
Jeff, please, this is very important and very private.
Okay. Any way you want it. The recorder's on the desk. Help yourself. I'll be in the coffee shop if you want me.
Hey, Jeff!
Earth Mother! In the flesh!
Oh, boy, you can say that again. Oh, am I glad to see you back.
Thanks, Trudy.
Well, where you been anyhow?
Oh, here, there, sitting in on a few jam sessions. Forgetting my troubles.
Oh, you and your troubles. Oh, they're all in your head.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst kind.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. Hey, are you hungover?
No, I'm drying out real nice. But it was quite a binge.
Oh, what are we going to do about you?
I don't know. I have the same problem. I keep getting in my way.
Now, you'd break my heart, Jeff, if I didn't want to spank you. Oh, but gee, kid, I'm glad you're home.
Well, thanks for calling it home, Trudy.
Okay. Now I got a second problem.
What's that?
Kate.
Oh, I just saw her.
You did?
Yeah, she went upstairs.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Hold it, Trudy.
No, Jeff, I've been looking for that girl all day.
Yeah.
So was everybody else.
Yeah, like old Pinstripes.
Yeah. You know, I thought she might have left town.
That's tomorrow. Right now, she's busy.
Well, if she's packing, I'll help her.
She's listening to my tape recorder.
Well, that ought to be soothing.
She's got her own tape she wanted to hear. And when I talked to her, she looked ready to burst into tears.
I don't get it.
She wants to be alone. She said so.
Well, that settles it.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Jeff, Kate's kept everything tied up inside her for so long, she doesn't know how to ask for help. She'll do anything for other people, but she doesn't want anybody getting under her guard. Well, I'm going up to see her. If she doesn't want me around, she'll have to tell me.
Look, Trudy, some people get hurt and want to be alone.
Why'd you say that?
Because that's the way some people are. Now, you're different. You can take things and let them bounce off you.
Oh, which shows how much you know. Jeff, why don't you want me to go up and see Kate now?
I don't know. It's the vibes I got. The look in her eyes.
Yeah?
Yeah, as if she was someplace a long way from here. I don't know. I'm funny that way. I get things from people.
Sure. Sure. Jeff, I think I'll go up anyhow. Just to knock on her door. Kate?
Who is it?
It's me, Trudy.
Oh, just a minute.
Look, are you okay?
Just a minute, Trudy.
Well, if you don't want to see
no,
me...
No, just a minute.
I could swear I heard a man's voice.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. So I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. Hi, Holly.
Having a handsome man drop in on me just when I'm feeling my loneliness.
Where's Ned?
Oh, where is he ever? Meeting his theatrical friends.
Why don't you go with him? You're prettier than they
are. Why? Because he wants me at home. Well, it's all right now that you're here.
Well, I'm glad somebody wants to see me.
Oh, you need a drink.
Yeah, tonight I do.
Make it for yourself. It's over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish I had never given that damned anniversary party.
It was a super party.
And everybody hates me. Tell me, Tony, have you and that nice girl Kate made up?
I haven't seen her, Holly.
Oh, no. That's why you're at loose ends tonight.
There's more than loose ends. I haven't seen her, and apparently I'm not going to. I made 4 calls to the studio club where she lives.
Yes, I know.
And the last time, I got Trudy, Kate's best friend up there. Great girl, really. She told me Kate couldn't talk to me. What she meant was Kate wouldn't talk to me.
Well, let her get over it, Tony. Give her time. Oh, you two are so great for each other.
Yeah, well, she's leaving town.
Oh, no.
She asked for a leave of absence from her job.
Tony, are you in love with her?
What do you think?
No, I mean, really.
I want to marry her, Holly. I want to spend the rest of my life with her.
Oh, my dear.
Now, how the hell do I tell her that when I can't even get near enough to talk to her? Why wouldn't she come to the phone?
If you're that serious, Tony, maybe you'd better find out.
Here we are, Kate. I got some coffee and a couple of turkey sandwiches.
Wonderful, Trudy. I'm sorry I let go like that.
Don't you feel better?
Yes, I do. I'm just not used to giving way.
That's your trouble, Kate. But I'm asking only one question.
Well, go ahead and ask. I want to talk.
Are you going away tomorrow?
Yes.
Where?
I'm going up to Maine, to an island.
Marvelous! I love Maine in the winter. I've got a Norwegian grandfather in Maine I haven't seen for years.
What are you talking about?
I'm going with you, Kate.
You mean you would?
And you don't have to tell me anything.
Trudy, I want to talk. I've got to talk. If I tell you what's happened, will you swear not to tell a living soul?
Oh, Kate. Look, tell me on the trip if you want. Hey, we'll have a great time.
You've got to know part of it now. Trudy, do you know what I heard on that tape recorder tonight?
No.
I heard my husband speak.
Oh, Kate.
It was Tom's voice. As if he were right here in this room.
Well, no wonder you were upset.
It wasn't just his voice. I could take that. It was what he said. He couldn't have meant it.
Well, then throw it out. Forget it.
I want you to hear. I want you to know what he's done to me.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, Bernie Grant as Stephen Wolfe, and Joan Shea as Trudy. Also appearing were Mason Adams, Mary Jane Higby, and Richard Niles. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Associate producer, Dale Stewart. Written by Margaret LaWorth and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Mel Brand. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Ladies, gentlemen, yet once again, the author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray. I am a twitter at my desk this day, for all is a twitter in my story. Do you fancy it a simple matter to transport a lady of Miss Matilda Crawley's cumbrous weight and ripe age through endless passageways, down countless stairs, and at last to her waiting carriage? Be it said that two stalwart footmen have been dragooned to carry the burden. The invalid is a large bundle of shawls, capes, afghans, and bad temper as they lift... not a hoist is a better word, hoist her from her couch, whilst three females, Becky, Giles, and Miss C, do not, I regret, stay silent.
Gently, in heaven's name, gently!
Yes, Mum!
Oh, they'll dash me to the floor.
Clumsy oxes, take care!
Yes, Mum!
They'll kill me, they'll murder me.
It may be the two burden-bearers would like nothing better than to murder Miss Crawley. I am not prepared to say. Note that Sir Pitt has wisely stayed away. His nerves could not withstand the caterwauling as the procession wends its way along the corridors. Nor can I. So let us change the scene to the rectory. Mrs. Bute Crawley at this moment is stepping into the parson's old one-horse carriage, an equipage long since cast on the rubbish heap by Sir Pitt. She is wished godspeed by her reverend husband, and now gives an order to the ancient coachman, also cast off by Sir Pitt.
Queen's Crawley Manor, and be quick about it.
During the mile drive to the manor, Mrs. Bute basks in self-righteousness, as surely she has every right whilst performing her Christian duty. Her pious thoughts must be recorded for the edification of those not given to good deeds. And may you learn from this kind Samaritan.
Miss Rebecca Sharp. Miss Baggage. I knew from the start she's no better than she should be. I cannot account for Matilda's infatuation with her. My sister-in-law is a fool. I'd not help her one jot or tittle, but that my dear Bute deserves and must have some of her fortune. Allow Miss Doxy Sharp to continue her wanton ways. She'll have Rawdon and Matilda's 70,000 a year. I will open poor dear Matilda's eyes to the Sharp's true character.
Ah, what a pity. Mrs. Bute will be too late with her errand of mercy. As her creaking carriage approaches the manor, an elegant coach and pair is ready to drive off. Miss Crawley bundled inside, Becky and Giles beside her, Sir Pitt standing forlornly alongside, his eyes suspiciously watering. Quick, one of you, anyone, give Max the order to depart. Ah, it comes.
Max, all is ready. You may start.
Poof, where is my poof, poof?
Oh, that wretched dog.
Out jumps Giles to fetch the little beast whilst approaching nearer and nearer, drawing up, stopping, a carriage of doom. But for a spoiled, whimpering, obese King Charles Spaniel, Becky would have been off and away. Gentleman's lady is stepping down from her chaise. Sir Pitt approaching to inquire why she is here at 8 a.m. Recall, dear listeners, the Squire of Crawley is on acid terms with his brother and sister-in-law.
What the devil, Mrs. Bill?
Kindly curb your language, Pitt. Whose carriage is that up ahead?
None of your affair.
And curb your insults. Call her so early?
Yes, you.
Why are the curtains drawn?
How should I know? What be you here for?
To see Matilda.
Oh, Matilda, is it? Well, now, she'd not see Bute yesterday. Why should she see Mrs. Bute today?
I bring her a most important message.
From who?
That is my affair.
Matilda be a very sick woman.
I am distressed to hear of her condition. I hope with all my heart she'll soon be well.
You hope with all your heart she'll soon expire.
Pitt!
That the message you brung her?
Oh, fine one you are to talk. You hope the same. Where are her quarters? And don't try to stop me.
Don't intend to. East wing, second floor, top of the stairs.
Will Miss Sharp try to prevent my entry?
No, she'll not. But if anything prevents, come back to me. See to it myself you enter Matilda's quarters.
My pet, I'd not expect assistance from you.
Please to oblige. Go along in. I have to speak to my callers into the coach.
Isn't that Giles just coming out? Why does she have Matilda's little dog?
Why do you fancy? Don't a dog need a walkie? Will you go?
Good morning, Giles.
Good morning, Mrs. Bute.
Pray, how is dear Miss Crawley?
Not well, ma'am. We ain't sure she's fit to make the journey.
Mrs. Bute is going up to see her, Giles. Up to pay a call.
Up, sir?
Up! To her quarters. Now.
Oh, yes, sir. Up.
Albeit you've changed your mind, Martha.
Indeed not. I'm going at once. And shall hold you to your promise if there's trouble.
Good girl, Giles.
Come along, Giles. Don't stand about.
Yes, Miss Betty.
Matilda, I've done you a service, I did.
She's sleeping, Sir Pitt. At least I think so.
Not sleeping. Where is Poof?
Here, Miss Crawley.
Our little baby dog left behind.
Oh, will I hold him for you?
Yes, I can't. Oh, I do feel great.
Hang it, I've done you a service, Matilda.
Sir Pitt, you must not shout like that. It shatters her nerves. What service have you done, and then we're off.
Mrs. B come to see you, Matilda. I spared you, heard I did.
Spare me any more talk. Oh, do let us be gone.
Yes, goodbye, Sir Pitt.
Oh, come back soon, Becky. Queen's Crawley will be a poor place till you've come again.
Oh, leave off whining, Pitt. Call to Bex, Becky.
Just one more word, Miss Crawley. Sir Pitt, take care of her ladyship. Hold to your promise.
I will. Hold to yours. Come back. Come back.
Matilda! Matilda!
Good death! Martha!
Keep that woman from me. Close the door.
Max, be gone.
Goodbye. Stop, Matilda. Oh, stop.
Yell your bloody head off. She'll not stop. You didn't go to her quarters.
Oh, I met Sykes. She told me. Matilda has decamped for London.
Pity you didn't get to see her.
With Miss Sharp.
Gone. Miss Becky's gone to nurse Matilda.
Loony, bungler, simpleton. Had you let me see her, tell her what I know of Miss Sharp, she'd never, never have taken that hussy into her carriage, much less into her house.
What? What were you saying?
I say you lost what you most wanted because you lied to me.
No, tell me it ain't true.
It's true, and it serves you right, sir. I give you good morning.
Well then, 'tis done. London bound, Becky Sharp. Rawdon bound, Becky Sharp. All is well? Oh, far from it. Tomorrow, faithful listeners? Till then, I am your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Johnny, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Double kick.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
My, I certainly ate too much dinner.
Oh, I did too. I'm not on a diet, that's for sure.
Oh, are you doing the crossword puzzle?
Here, Aunt Maggie, take it.
Oh, no, no. If you want it.
No, take it. Take it.
Thank you. You know, there's one thing you two have not mentioned. I don't suppose it's my business to do so, since I'm just visiting.
Aunt Maggie, I never think of you as visiting or being a guest. When you're here, you're just a part of us, honey.
Oh, thank you, dear. What I was talking about is Thanksgiving, which is next week, and you've not said one word about it.
Well, at the moment, it's a sore subject. Last night, as a matter of fact, quite a few words were said about Thanksgiving.
My goodness, what's the matter?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Peg thought it had all been decided that the whole family was getting together at my mother's this year.
I didn't think it was all decided. It was all decided last Thanksgiving when I had everybody here, as usual, all 26 people. And I suggested that once, just once, Bob's sister, Dorothy, could have everybody at their place.
And Mother said no, she'd have us all over there at her place.
You do remember she said that?
Yes.
All right.
But then you said no, it was too much work for us, so they could come here.
That's right, that's right. That part is correct, but I didn't add that last part. I remember very definitely saying to your sister that I thought it was time she had us at her place.
Well, as I recall, your sister, Bob, is not a very good cook.
You don't have to be Julia Child to cook a turkey. Just, there's too much work involved for Dorothy.
Well, there's a car just stopped out in front.
What?
Huh?
Oh, I'll turn on the outside light. Oh, I think that's Miss Perkins getting out of the car.
Miss Perkins?
Maybe you forgot to sign some papers at the office today or something.
Oh, no. Well, even so, there'd be no reason for her to drive all the way out here to the country just to...
Oh, it is Miss Perkins, I think. Oh, I just looked out and said, I think it's Miss Perkins.
I do hope you don't mind.
Mind? Of course. I come in.
I'm with my fiancé.
Oh, how nice. Ask him in.
Yes, my goodness, we've never met him.
I know, and I thought, oh, good evening, Mr. Baxter.
Good evening, Miss Perkins.
She's out for a drive with her fiancé, dear.
Well, actually, we're not just out for a drive. That's what I wanted to explain.
Oh, are you having car trouble?
No. We've been with a real estate agent, Mrs. Piano Rosa.
Oh, yes. I know Zell very well.
Well, Edgar decided that when we get married, we ought to have a house instead of an apartment.
Oh.
And we've been looking for some property out here.
Oh,
and we're going to build.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you'll be out here near us. Isn't that nice, dear?
Yes, yes.
Oh, we can't afford anything fancy. Not much land and just a small house. But as Edgar said, it doesn't take much to make a house a home.
Yeah, well, go bring him in now. We want to meet him.
You sure?
Yes.
I mean, I did want you to meet him, and we won't stay but a minute. That's what I said to Edgar. Now, Edgar, we're just going to stay but a minute. We don't want to interrupt you.
No, you're not interrupting a thing. Go on now, go bring him in.
All right, I will. We're just staying a minute.
Well, we'll see.
Close the door. Huh? I don't know why women stand in a doorway to talk. You're letting all the cold air in.
Well, I didn't want to close the door in her face, dear, and she wanted to explain why they were here. Oh, what is his name?
Edgar
what?
Well, don't worry about it. She'll introduce him properly. Miss Perkins is always very proper about everything.
I don't know why you always act so funny about her. You tell us over and over what an efficient, marvelous secretary she is, and then you always act as though you don't really like her.
I like her. She just drives me crazy.
No, not a very nice thing to say.
No, it isn't, and you'll be very nice to her now.
I am always nice to her. Always.
Yeah, and you'll be nice to her fiancé, too. I mean, really knock yourself out to be charming, which you can do, dear, when you want to.
I am always charming. That's why you married him.
Oh, is that why? I was wondering about that.
Well, what's holding up the happy couple?
Well, maybe he's shy and she's trying to persuade him to come in.
No. There they come.
Oh, do they? Oh. I don't think we should all be peeking out the window.
Well, they can't see us with the porch light on. There he is.
Oh, boy. Awfully short, isn't it?
Mm. Well, Miss Perkins is short, too.
I bet he weighs less than I do.
Well, he's probably very nice.
Yes. Look out. Get out of my way. Open the door.
Nice to meet you. Oh, it's my fiancé, yes. Mr. Edgar Mullins. And, Edgar, I would like to introduce you to Mrs. Baxter.
Oh, how do you do?
Mr. Baxter's aunt, Miss Sorensen.
Oh, so nice to meet you.
And my employer, Mr. Baxter. My fiancé, Edgar Mullins.
Well, we're just delighted to meet you at long last, Mr. Mullins.
Well, it's a pleasure, I'm sure, to meet all of you.
Well, let's go in and sit down.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol Cream Formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
It's really fascinating.
We're all doing so much talking, we haven't given Mr. Mooley a chance to say anything.
Oh, that's...
Well, I'm not much of a talker.
Oh, no, Edgar. Actually, he talks all the time.
Oh, well.
Edgar, tell them about your skydiving.
Skydiving?
My goodness. What is skydiving?
Skydiving is when you...
Now, Miss Perkins, you've been doing all the talking, telling us about the house you're going to build and all that, and now, as your employer, I'm going to order you to give the man in your life a chance to talk.
Well, skydiving is probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done. You see, I'm quite an outdoor man.
You are?
Oh, yes. 2 years ago, I walked the Appalachian Trail. Oh, that sounds like fun. I love hiking in the woods, too. Hiking? No, it's 2,000 miles long. Oh. It goes from Maine to Georgia. Took me 2 months.
You mean to say...
You walked all that way? I like mountain climbing, too. 1 year, I saved my money, flew to Switzerland on the excursion rates, then I climbed the Matterhorn.
Oh, now, Edgar, tell them about the skydiving.
Well, there's not much to tell you. Just jump out of a plane, that's all.
Without a parachute?
No. You got a parachute, but when you do a free fall, then you have to learn how far you can fall without opening the parachute.
Oh, it's thrilling. Of course, I don't do the free falling. I'm not experienced enough for that yet. I'm afraid I count 10 pretty fast. Then I pull that ripcord.
Well, you did very well this summer, dear, for a beginner.
Miss Perkins, you jumped out of a plane?
Oh, yes.
You... actually jumped out of a plane?
You can't imagine how thrilling it is to float down.
You jumped out
dear,
of a
plane? Dear, you have asked her that 3 times, honey.
Yeah, but I can't believe it. How did you get the courage?
Oh, there's nothing to it once you make up your mind. You could do it, Mr. Baxter, and you would just love it.
Oh, sure you could. We don't do much skydiving in the wintertime, but next summer, say June, I'll start giving you lessons.
If I can do it, you can do it, Mr. Baxter. Now, Edgar, what? I said we weren't going to stay but a minute. We've been here 10 minutes.
Oh, no, please, now, you don't have to rush off. I mean, really,
No, we've really overstayed our time. We've stayed longer than we should. Edgar, come on.
It's been a real pleasure to meet all of you. I've heard so much about you, especially you, Mr. Baxter. My fiancée's always telling me how wonderful you are to work for. She always says there's nothing you can't do. So I kind of feel I got a lot to live up to.
Oh, now, Edgar. Goodbye, Mrs. Baxter.
Oh,
Miss Sargent.
Goodbye, Miss Perkins.
I wish you wouldn't run off. It's been so exciting.
Yeah, all my mother always said, never overstay your welcome.
Yeah, we'll stop by again. And this winter, I can give Mr. Baxter some pointers before he starts any real jumping. You know, things he ought to know about air currents, judging the distances, all that. Oh, and also...
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye. Wonderful.
Good heavens, Bob. You wouldn't even think of skydiving, would you?
Don't talk to him, Aunt Maggie. He's in a state of shock.
Oh.
Miss Perkins, jumping out of a plane. I cannot even imagine it.
Well, it's harder to imagine you jumping out of one. You fall off step ladders, you get dizzy on a footstool. I mean, it's just a good thing you don't wear elevator shoes. You'd be airsick. You can't stand heights, honey. Has nothing to do with courage. You should have told Edgar at once that you're not up to that sort of thing. Because you're a man, you feel challenged, don't you?
How long have I got?
Until June.
7 months to think about it.
7 months to live, if you even think about it.
You know, it seems strange that Miss Perkins thinks I can do anything, but you don't. My own wife. I can imagine the thrill of floating down through the clouds with the blue sky overhead.
Oh, sure. Oh, you don't think he's really considering it, do you?
No, dear, but I've got 7 months to worry about it.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Yes, all right, Miss Tatum, that's fine. All right, no, it's fine. Tuesday at 3:30. And they say lawyers are long-winded.
I always thought Miss Tatum was the perfect secretary.
Well, she's pretty good, Bill.
Don't go overboard, Robert.
She tries to run my life.
The only time you complain about that is when she makes a dental appointment for you.
Oh, you're getting pretty smart, aren't you?
Smarter than I was when I was your son-in-law.
Well, I liked you better then.
Yes, because I was under your thumb.
Oh, come on, Bill. I never treated you that way.
Well, to be fair, in a sense, you didn't. I let you get away with a certain kind of fatherly bullying.
I never...
Lynn and I might have had a chance if you had let us alone.
Now... Oh. Yes, Miss Tatum. Oh, yes, all right, send him in. Bill, you are about to meet the man who's taken on the awful burden of coping with me as a father-in-law.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Kurt. This is Bill Sloan.
How do you do?
Hello. I thought Lynn was coming in with you.
Oh, she decided at the last minute to stay at home. You know what she's like.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have some work to do.
Well, you shouldn't run off like that, Bill. Maybe you can give Kurt some pointers on how to handle me.
I wouldn't presume, Robert. I no doubt will be seeing you again, Kurt.
Well, I'm sure, Bill.
Well, what can I do for you, Kurt?
I wanted your advice.
Oh, what about?
These distributorships I'm setting up as a representative of some ski firms.
What do you need to know?
What are the usual terms of such agreements?
Haven't you discussed it with them? It's their contract. Didn't you say someone had arrived from Zurich?
Well, we're just talking.
Well, and that reminds me, there's something I've been meaning to ask you.
What is it?
When I told you Herr Hoffman hadn't sent me a bill for the investigative service...
Oh, for that little job you had him do on me when I was in Zurich.
Well, yes. But anyway, you... You said the investigator was French.
Did I?
Yes. I just wondered how you knew Herr Hoffman had used a Frenchman.
Well, I have no idea, Robert. Maybe you told me.
No, good. I couldn't have, because, you see, Herr Hoffman told me nothing.
A little bit higher, Caroline.
Now, Lynn, couldn't you have waited until tomorrow when Hodges could do this?
No, I wanted to surprise Kurt when he comes back.
Well, now, is this right?
Yes, yes. Oh, let me mark it.
I must say, Anne certainly did a beautiful portrait of you.
Well, she ever had to work at it. For money, I mean. She'd do quite well.
Oh, is that it?
There. There. Oh, this should hold it.
Now, wait a minute. This is straight.
Just a little higher. On the left. On the left. Yep, right. That's it. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I didn't realize how I'd feel having my picture look down on me.
Well, when you have your own place, Kurt can put it in his library.
That'll be quite a while, Caroline.
Really?
Oh, we'll have our own place. I'm just not so sure about the library.
Well, I understand he has an income of some kind.
Well, I don't know much about it.
Now, Lynn, I don't mean to give advice, but, well, I will. You and Kurt should be more open with each other on money matters.
He is a man of the family, Caroline.
Lynn, it may seem unromantic, but when your father and I married, we had a very serious business discussion regarding our finances.
It was different for you and Daddy. You had money a lot more than Daddy.
Well, the principle is still the same, Lynn. Different attitudes about money can cause more trouble in the family than bad cooking.
Kurt tells me he's a good cook.
Well, I say the proof of the pudding.
And too many cooks, Caroline.
I like the picture there, Lynn.
You're sure, Kurt?
Besides, where else could you hang it?
In the bedroom?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Look at your eyes in the portrait.
Oh, they do sort of follow you, don't they?
Yes. I think they might make me a little self-conscious in the bedroom.
Oh, I see.
I need only one of you there.
That's nice to hear. Did you get any apartment listings?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Kurt.
Oh, there's no rush. I'd like to concentrate on getting my business started.
Well, maybe I should worry about the apartment then.
Caroline did say we were welcome to stay as long as we wanted.
Oh, Kurt, I want to fix up my own place.
Of course you do. Do you remember that little man who followed us around in Zurich?
How could I forget him? That funny derby hat and the mustache. What made you think of him?
Your father was talking about Herr Hoffman today.
Oh, him.
Wouldn't you say that little man was French?
Oh, I don't know, Kurt. We never talked to him.
I mentioned him to your father, and when I said he was French, he asked me how I knew.
Well, why didn't you say that was the way he looked to you?
I thought you said he was French. Remember those yellow gloves and cane?
Yes.
And that cologne he was wearing, wasn't that French?
I don't know. Did he ever get that close to us?
I could have sworn you thought he was French.
Maybe I did. Well, anyway, does it really matter?
Well, I think your father is still a little suspicious of me, that's all.
That is enough.
Robert, did you talk to Jason today?
Yes, we had lunch.
And how is Emily?
Well, they're finally going to consult a specialist, a neurosurgeon.
Well, that sounds serious.
Well, of course, they won't know until after the consultation. Oh. Would you like me to freshen up your sherry?
No, dear. One's my limit before dinner.
Caroline, you give me something to try for.
What do you mean?
Perfection.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Robert, what did Jason have to say about Brixton?
Well, just that he's glad to be back, and in spite of the hardships, he and the Anthonys had quite a reunion.
Uh-huh. Well, what happened?
Well, Mrs. Anthony, Helen and Jason were very good friends in Korea.
Oh, and her husband didn't know?
They weren't married then. All three of them were the best of friends, except that Jason and Helen were friendlier.
Wasn't it, awkward when Jason saw them in Brixton?
Not at all, dear. They seemed to take it in their stride.
Well, they were young. It was 20 years ago.
I wonder how I'd feel if I ran into an old girlfriend, someone from my past.
I hope you'd invite her to lunch, at least.
You wouldn't be jealous?
Only if it would please you, dear.
You do understand me. And I wonder how Emily feels about it.
She knows?
Yes, Jason told her.
I wonder if that was wise.
Well, according to Jason, she was just mildly amused.
Oh, I hope she stays that way.
Hello. We aren't late, are we?
No, but dinner is.
Oh, well, in that case...
Very slightly.
Can I fix you a drink, Liz?
Oh, just a light one, darling. Oh, where's Anne?
Well, some old school chums are in town, and she's having dinner with them.
A male or a female?
Well, I really don't know.
Ooh, Kurt's acting just like a brother, isn't he?
I'm not so sure Annie would appreciate that.
Oh, Daddy, I was just kidding. By the way, Caroline, did I ever tell you about that funny little Frenchman who followed us all over Zurich?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he had this derby hat and the most ridiculous mustache, didn't he, Kurt?
Yes, he did. Well, I see you have a witness, Kurt.
Well, Robert, you know a wife can't testify against her husband.
To Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.